Jersey Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Drivers, get your questions in. Anything from hours of service to CSA 2010. And you know the rest. 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Yes, that's right. You make your list and bring it here. 800-288-9227. Retired senior trooper Monty Dial is here. As Gary mentioned, courtesy of Old Blue USA, askthelaw.org is their website. You can submit your CMD questions anytime. Just go to the website, askthelaw.org. Click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, Monday, May 9th, 2011. Can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We were talking, and by the way, we've got plenty of drivers standing by and room for you if you want to get in. 800-288-9227. Please do that right now. Get on board. 800-288-9227. But to finish what we were talking about earlier, basically, the FMCSA now basically posting this new data, these four new studies on hours of service, and extending the comment period and publication date for the final rules. So you can go to regulations.gov. If you go to the trucker.com, Lyndon Finney put this story up, and you can, in the story, there are plenty of links. In fact, the links to the four studies are there, and also the links to the websites for the FMCSA, which are fmcsa.dot.gov or regulations.gov, where you can go online and look at it more closely. I think if you look at this situation, Trooper Dial, we're going to find that basically they're doing, I guess, everything they can. In some cases, it appears maybe a little bit of backstepping on hours of service, or at least the data part of it, to support what's going on in order to put this out there now. As you mentioned, maybe it would have been better served to have had these studies available.
Yes.
When we started this whole mess. But now we're doing this. I guess this shows, I don't know. I know the ATA has some concerns here, and I agree with them on these concerns, because it seems like it really all depends on how far they extend this public comment period.
Right.
You know, if they're extending it 30 days, I'm going to be a little suspicious. If they go another 90 days on it, which I guess they could do, then we will see if they do that. That will make it a little more palatable and acceptable, I guess, for someone like me who has a concern with them throwing in this information like the ATA does, throwing this data in kind of last minute. It seems like it just simply could be backtracking, saying, okay, here's what we're talking about, here's the kind of data we're looking at, and here's why, and then from there we can all go in, look at this data, and then comment based on that data,
right,
and see if we agree with that data, or if that changes any sentiment. And I wonder here if the FMCSA is trying to also garner some support for their version of hours of service by presenting this data, saying, okay, look, read through this data and see now if you if there is some support for this proposal, this hours of service that's on the table.
That may be what they're doing, and I don't remember how long ago it was that I read, and I don't even remember if it came off of the Trucker, if it came off of ATA's website, somewhere else, but somebody called FMCSA's hand on a lot of the data that they were using using to support the changes in the hours of service that FMCSA is wanting to change.
Right.
And I kind of take this that, okay, we got caught with our hand in a cookie jar.
Yeah.
So now then, let's go and present another study that we commissioned last week.
Yeah.
A couple of months ago.
Not too long ago. Yeah.
So we've got this study all of a sudden.
That's what makes it suspicious.
Yeah.
Is that these studies are so recent.
Right. And so I think it's a deal that now then they're coming back and saying, oh, wait a minute, we misquoted. We didn't mean to use that study.
Right.
When we did the NPRM, we meant to use this one. So now then we got to get you to comment on this one.
Right. And that's what makes it all so suspicious, is that the timing of it just seems odd.
Yes.
So we'll watch and see. And as soon as we find out what the timeline is on the comment period, then we will certainly let you know. So keep it right here. Ask the Law continues as we go back to your phone calls at 800-288-9227.
And let's talk to Jeff in Lansing, Michigan. Jeff, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hi.
Hey, I've been kind of out of the loop here, trying to remember everything that goes on, but I wonder if he was trying to help me with the figuring out the sleeper berth there, the split sleeper berth. Last I knew, they had only restricted it to being a split into an 8 and a 2, or has it always been, a, you know, vice versa? Has it always been either or?
Jeff, you can take the sleeper berth split either way. Typically, I think in the book, it talks about taking the long, what I call the long break, the 8-hour break first, followed by the short break, the 2-hour break second. But it does not
that
make...
That was just an example.
That was just an example.
Right.
It does not make any difference. You can do some driving, take the 2-hour break, do some driving, take the long break, or you can do it the other way around, do some driving, take the 8, do some driving, take the 2. It's just what
the
you've got.
Against your 14 hours, though?
The the short break goes against the 14-hour clock.
Okay. Now, were they also going to make any changes with the new rules that they were talking about?
Which one?
well, regarding sleeper berth,
no.
You know, if they're going to change up any, let us have a little more freedom in that.
No, that was one of the issues that they wanted drivers to comment on during the listening sessions. But what they have done is they are holding steadfast on the 8 and the 2, and the reason for that being some of the sleep studies that they have commissioned. Some of the sleep doctors that they have on this new medical review officer staff, they are recommending that a driver needs a minimum of 8 hours to get 6 hours of REM sleep so that the driver avoids being in a fatigue issue.
Amazing. Everyone's different. Okay, thanks,
yeah. Hey, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for the call at 800-288-9227. We'll go over some key elements, and I think maybe you and I, in doing the program, we just kind of assume that everybody is completely up to date or maybe has had their recent refresher on the hours of service proposal. So we'll talk about those key items of what they're proposing here in just a few minutes. So stand by for that. It is Ask the Law at 800-288-9227. And I think we have, I'll tell you what, we'll go to a break, and Greg and others that are holding on, we're going to get to your call right after this break. We want to make sure we give you plenty of time. So stand by for that. Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial, 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you want to get your question in, do it now, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All the information and answers are up to date as of today, Monday, May 9th, 2011. Can change without notice, and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Ask the Law courtesy of Old Blue USA. Let's go to your questions at 800-288-9227.
Let's go to Greg in Dallas, Texas. Greg, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome.
Yeah, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, good.
And anyways, my question is, I'm a refrigerated carrier, and I have multi-picks within the same city, and I may drive like 2 or 3 miles to pick up another pickup, and I've been driving for 19 years, and up until the last year, I had always logged that as multi-picks on line 4. Well, I've been instructed by my company that I work for that I have to show a period of driving, no matter how long it is, that I'm behind the wheel, and I was just wondering, are they right, or am I right?
Well, one of the things, Greg, is, and this was one of the things that when I first started doing the radio show, and even to this day, when I go in and do the trucking shows, I can tell you what the regulations are, but the simple fact is, you work for that motor carrier.
Yeah.
That motor carrier is the one that signs your paycheck, not me.
Right.
So I can tell you what the regulations are. It's left up to the motor carrier as to whether or not they want to use that or whether or not they want to take and set their own standard.
Right.
But they can do that provided that what they are doing is not contrary to what the DOT regulation is. Now,
yeah.
In 395, part 395.8, it talks about, actually you find the definition in 395.2. It talks about multiple stops, but in 395.8, it gives you example of how to do a multiple stop within the same city. Now, what we're talking about is we're in the same city. We're talking the city of Dallas. We're not
right.
talking making a stop in Dallas, making a stop in Garland, making a stop in Richardson, making a stop in Farmers Branch. We're talking multiple stops within the same city.
Yeah.
So as long as your stops are all within the city of Dallas, you show some driving time at the beginning, you show some driving time at the end, and then all of your loading and unloading can be grouped under one entry on duty not driving.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I guess since they pay me, maybe I better just do it their way.
Well, that's always advisable.
out of curiosity, I just wanted to know if I'd been doing it wrong for all these years, because I've been DOT'd multiple times and I've never been in violation.
Yeah, and it sounds like that everything that you have been doing previously was in accordance, but a lot of times motor carriers, for whatever reason, decides to chart their own course, you might say, and this
right.
may be one of their instances that they have decided that, well, rather than having the driver show multiple stops within the same city, we're just going to tell the driver, do it this way. And two, I don't know who your company is. Don't care to know who the company is, but it could be something too, and I don't know if you are aware or not, but there is a current NPRM out for drivers and motor carriers to submit comments on electric onboard recorders.
Right.
So this could be something that the motor carrier may be preparing their drivers to do.
We are slowly going over to the electronic logs.
Right, and so what they're doing is, okay, let's get you in the mood of doing this every time you make a stop, because this is going to be something that will be required of you every time you make a stop. You're going to have to go in and make a manual entry on the EOBR.
Mm.
So we're going to go ahead, and even though we're still using a paper log, we're going to go ahead and switch you over and make you start doing each one of these, so that when we actually put the EOBR in the truck, you're already used to doing it. We're not going to get our hands slapped because somebody didn't do it.
Right.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's a great idea. Always good to develop those habits early. So, Greg, thank you so much. We do appreciate your call at 800-288-9227. Coming up in just a few minutes, we will go over the hours of service proposal that is on the table right now. The comment period has been extended, and so it's based on some new data that was introduced officially on Friday, and we'll talk more about that as well. So stand by for that. The FMCSA, by the way, says that 78% of commercial truck and bus drivers wore safety belts behind the wheel in 2010. 78%. That's up from 74% in 2009. That's not bad. 78%.
Not bad at all.
Back in the day, when I think probably maybe about the time we first started this program, it was down in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it?
Lower than that.
That's pretty incredible.
Yes.
It is pretty incredible. You can find this story at fleetowner.com, fleetowner.com, the FMCSA safety belt usage by commercial vehicle driver survey observed some 26,830 commercial drivers operating medium to heavy duty trucks and buses at 998 roadside sites nationwide. Speaking of roadside sites and inspections and all of that, we'll also talk about Road Check 2011. That's coming up right here on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Network and Ask the Law. Drivers, get your question in now at 800-288-9227. That's 800-288-9227. We have retired senior trooper Monty Dial in studio with us. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Road Check 2011 is coming up in June. And what do drivers need to know about Road Check? There's a reason that they publicize it, first of all. They want companies and drivers to pretty much be in compliance. They
yes.
want them to this is if you tell everybody that it's going to happen, then everybody's going to go in and, well, they're going to get those brakes fixed. They're going to get all of those problems fixed before they get out there that first week of June.
Well, normally what they do is FMCSA has, along with CVSA, they have certain, let's see how you want to say it, they have certain times of the year
mm-hmm.
where they will go in and put a special emphasis on something. As an example, they have what we call brake check. They will take and do an announced brake check, and then they will turn around and do another one that is not announced. But yet the law enforcement community will show up, and everything that they inspect that day will be in reference to the brakes.
Right.
So this is another one of CVSA and FMCSA's program where they announce everything to all the companies involved in the transportation business that says, okay, look, first week of June, we're going to do a 72-hour blitz, and we're going to inspect every truck going up and down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't always happen because you only have limited resources to inspect them, but they bring in extra personnel to a specific location, and they will take and inspect as many as they can.
We want to remind you that all the information on Ask the Law is up to date. As of today, Monday, May 9th, 2011, can change without notice, and all the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. June 7th through the 9th are the dates for
yes.
The Road Check 2011. And this will be going on throughout the continent, throughout North America.
Well, it'll be Canada, U.S., and Mexico.
Yeah, so there you have it. And you were out there. Did you participate in just about every one of those?
Yes. I was.
You called me a couple of times after those late nights.
When I was working, our command told the supervisors there will be no vacations issued.
Yeah.
If somebody's already turned a vacation card in, unless he's on his deathbed,
yeah.
he will be at Road Check.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's a lot of fun. You get to see a lot of people. You get to see a lot of the friends, troopers.
Right.
You get to interact a lot with the truck drivers.
Yeah, and it's I think probably a more friendly atmosphere simply because it's publicized.
Yes.
And drivers are expecting it.
Yes.
Well, it's the unexpected stuff that usually sets
somebody
off. Oh,
yeah, it is. But as far as what a driver needs to do, don't do anything special. You should be taking care of your equipment. You should be checking it. You just might make an extra effort to double check to make sure that everything's in working order.
Wearing a tie like Dick McCorkle or a Henry Albert doesn't help your any at all,
no.
does it? Okay.
No.
Well.
And like I say, it's something that I've preached from the get go when I started doing the radio show here. You know, get out with a good positive attitude.
Sure.
And things will go a lot quicker, and they'll get you back out on the road as quickly as they can.
They don't serve donuts or sandwiches or anything, do they?
A lot of it depends on where you happen to go.
Yeah.
I know that when I was working, we had some of the trucking company representatives that, and of course, we invited them.
Sure, sure.
We invited them to come out, and we had several of them that from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that would go with us. And of course, we'd always make sure that we would stop and inspect their trucks while they were there.
Sure.
Just so they could have a chance to see how their drivers reacted, take a look at their equipment and so on and so forth.
Right. Now, with CSA, it's this during this CVSA road check, now that CSA is rolling, these inspections are happening. Anything that's noted during this inspection is going to show up on their CSA, is it not?
Right, but what you've got to understand is the CSA data goes back 3 years.
Yeah.
So you've already got 2009 and 2010 on the books.
Right. But I guess in 2009, it's probably, I guess the point is that a lot of drivers really weren't concerned about
because
it is, as you mentioned, retroactive.
Yes, it was retroactive. So yes, a driver needs to be more attuned to the equipment on his truck to make sure, because any violation that shows up under this one will be a multiplier times three.
Yeah.
What happened in 2010 will drop to a multiplier of two, and stuff that happened in 2009 will be a multiplier of one.
800-288-9227. Let's go to your call. 800-288-9227.
And we've got Kevin. Kevin, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome, Kevin. Hi. Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome.
Trooper Monty, I've got two warning tickets in the last 5 months in the state of Texas for not having a backup light on my truck. And it's a 92, and I've never had a backup light on it. And all they say is it has to have a backup light. And I ask them what the enforcement date was on that, and they can't answer it. But they say, well, it's got to be on there. But if you look back at the first paragraph of the lighting section, it says must meet the minimum requirements of date of manufacture.
Okay, what you've got to do on that, Kevin, is you've got to go back and find what's called the VS.
I can't hear you, Monty.
What you've got to do is you've got to go back and find the 571 standard.
And where would that 571 standard be? In the FMCSA handbook? Or?
I don't know. No, it's not going to be in the FMCSA handbook.
Okay.
It's going to be in the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. They are the one, NHTSA is the one that issues the 571 standard. And every vehicle, it doesn't make a difference if it's a commercial truck, a pickup truck, a car, a motorcycle, whatever, they have standards that the vehicle has to be built to. And so what Kevin needs to do is go back and find those standards for the year model of his vehicle that was built, and it will denote what all had to be on that vehicle.
Okay. All right. I guess that is that pretty much goes in line with the, as he was mentioning, the date of the manufacturer.
Right. Here again, get on NHTSA's website and find the 571 standard. And when you find them, they'll be broken down. Like 121 is for brakes. There'll be another section in there that'll be for lighting. And it'll even break it down as to whether or not it's a passenger vehicle, whether or not it's a commercial vehicle. And it'll tell you what lighting was required for your vehicle at the time it was manufactured.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll go over some key items from the hours of service proposal that's out there, just as a refresher on Ask the Law, which continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dowles here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Submit your CMV questions there anytime. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law. And also, we want to remind you that all the information on this morning's program is up to date. As of today, Monday, May 9th, 2011, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's go over this hours of service rule.
Let me throw
proposal.
Something in.
Okay.
I went and found
for our last caller.
Yeah. Kevin, if you're still listening, 49 CFR 571.108. That is going to be the 571 standard for the lighting on all vehicles.
Okay, so check it out, and it's fairly complete, as
yes.
What we saw. So, and if you have a question for Trooper Dial specifically, you can go to that website, askthelaw.org, and submit that CMV question to him, and he'll get back to you. anytime. So we do appreciate that call. Thank you so much. And let's talk about hours of service.
Hours of service.
We have about 3 minutes here. So, of course, we'll be able to cover everything in detail. All right. Here's the main points of it. It would limit drivers to either 10 or 11 hours of driving time following a period of at least 10 consecutive hours off duty on the basis of all relevant considerations. FMCSA currently favors a 10-hour limit, but its ultimate decision will include a careful consideration of comments and any additional data, like the data they just submitted themselves. Number two, it would limit the standard driving window to 14 hours while allowing that number to be extended to 16 hours twice per week. Also, it would, the actual duty time within the driving window would be limited to 13 hours. So you have a driving window, but the actual duty time would be limited to 13 hours. Number four, drivers would be permitted to drive only if 7 hours or less have passed since their last off-duty sleeper berth period of at least 30 minutes.
Off-duty. Doesn't have to be sleeper
okay, berth. Okay, well, it says here, or sleeper berth period.
Right.
But it is just off-duty, you're
right.
saying?
Okay. Right.
All right, so since their last off-duty period of at least 30 minutes. Okay, the 34-hour restart would be retained subject to certain limits. The restart would have to include two periods between midnight and 6 a.m. This is a huge concern as far as I'm concerned. And by the way, it could be started no later than 168 hours after the beginning of the previously designated restart. Did you hear that? You would have to have two periods between midnight and 6 a.m. in that 34-hour restart. That would mean that no restart could start before 8 p.m.
Correct.
Or start after midnight.
Correct.
So you would have to, there would have to be some crazy planning. I think the entire feedback session, if you look at it, was really, I think most, if not 99% of the feedback was against this, had some concerns with those items there. By the way, the definition of on-duty would also be revised to allow some time spent in the CMV to be logged as off-duty. We're running up against our break here, but you can read more here. You go to the FMCSA's website. They have everything there. And if you've got a question about that, you can always again go to askthelaw.org. So there it is. Just kind of recapping briefly on the hours of service proposal that is still on the table. Trooper Dial, thank you so much, and
yes,
we will talk to you in July.
Well, we'll be here.
All right. It's the Midnight Radio Network.